A Yale student once described himself and his peers as excellent sheep, brilliant, accomplished, and utterly lost. He'd aced every test, conquered every extracurricular, earned admission to one of the world's most prestigious universities. Yet something felt profoundly wrong. This wasn't just teenage angst or imposter syndrome. It was the recognition that he'd become exactly what the system demanded, flawless on paper, hollow inside. The freeze spread like wildfire across elite campuses because it named something everyone felt but few dared articulate. These weren't failures. They were success stories who discovered that success itself had become the problem. In the early 1980s, competitive college applicants juggled three AP courses and three activities. Today's candidates routinely handle seven or eight APs alongside 9 or 10 extracurriculars. This isn't rising standards, it's an arms race. Admissions committees spend mere minutes per application, seeking stellar numbers and that elusive spark. The contradiction? Everyone's chasing the same spark in exactly the same way. This system determines status hierarchies within the already privileged upper middle class. Parents hover and pressure while simultaneously coddling, treating children as extensions of themselves. Psychoanalyst Alice Miller calls this the drama of the gifted child. Accomplished children form their identity around parents' need for gratification through achievement. Students describe feeling like machines with no life, surviving on minimal sleep in constant fear of failure. Each A provides temporary relief from anxiety without genuine pleasure. Their self-esteem becomes a balloon perpetually inflated by external approval, collapsing at the first contact with reality. They develop a false self, defined through superficial achievements rather than authentic identity. Before the Civil War, Ivy League colleges were modest local institutions. The post-war Industrial Revolution created unprecedented wealth and a new WASP aristocracy seeking social legitimacy through exclusive institutions, restricted resorts, country clubs, prestigious prep schools, serving as barriers against rising immigrants, particularly Catholics and Jews. Harvard, Yale, and Princeton transformed into wealthy, influential institutions with Gothic architecture and expanded missions beyond education to include social refinement. These universities became finishing schools, fostering networks that would define America's power structure for generations. When standardized exams dropped classical language requirements in 1916, public school enrollment surged, bringing Jewish applicants to 20% at Harvard by 1922. The response was swift. Elaborate admission systems, featuring recommendation letters, alumni interviews, athletic recruitment, legacy preferences, and subjective character assessments, thinly veiled exclusivity methods. The 1960s marked a pivot. Yale's Kingman Brewster recognized the aristocratic model was untenable. His 1965 reforms introduced universities have transformed from learning centers into corporate enterprises. Tenured professors give way to low-wage adjuncts as departments become revenue centers, scrutinized for enrollment and cost metrics. Liberal arts programs face cuts, while business schools and STEM expand based on revenue potential. Science departments prioritize commercially viable research, forming lucrative partnerships with pharmaceutical and tech companies. Patents and marketable innovations overshadow traditional inquiry. Universities aggressively expand through satellite campuses in Asia and the Middle East, treating international growth as brand building. Most destructively, institutions now view students as customers to be satisfied rather than challenged. Grade inflation becomes rampant. A's are now average. Luxury dormitories and resort-style amenities drive institutional debt, forcing continuous tuition increases. Intellectually serious students feel increasingly marginalized, forced to fight the system to find meaningful learning. As one Yale graduate observed, the purpose of Yale College is to manufacture Yale alumni, successful professionals who'll become wealthy donors. Universities trumpet diversity and progressive politics while systematically preparing students for high-paying corporate careers that perpetuate social inequality. College offers a rare opportunity to step outside the world between family expectations and career pressures, to contemplate life from a distance. Learning to think is just the beginning. You must think specifically about yourself. Liberal education isn't just about democratic citizenship, it's about building a self. Young people are taught that a self is something you just have, but there's not much to it when you're young. College provides tools for self-discovery through books, ideas, art, and intellectual pressure. Changing how you see the world changes how you see yourself. It's where you determine your own identity and values, discover who you truly are beneath others' expectations, and find new ideals. Only religious language captures the gravity of these questions. College should be a pilgrimage toward truth and self, a movement toward conversion to beliefs you don't yet know. Ideas become instruments of salvation, helping you avoid living secondhand with others' thoughts. Self-knowledge isn't just philosophical, it's practical because it helps you find the right career. Vocation, from the Latin for calling, isn't something you choose, it chooses you. It's the thing you can't not do. But discovering your calling requires work to become receptive to it. Elite colleges offer narrow choices, but you don't have to order from that menu. Moral imagination demands the courage to act despite what others will say. The most concrete suggestion: take time off, slow down, gain perspective, break the achievement cycle, and develop unexplored capacities. This isn't rest. It's creating space for genuine self-discovery outside institutional frameworks. Consider a gap year without structured programs. Get an apartment with friends, support yourself with part-time work, meet people you'd never encounter otherwise. These experiences often prove more valuable than formal programs because they force you to navigate real-world challenges. As a Lewis and Clark professor tells freshmen, passion finds you, you don't find it, and it finds you only after a lot of hard work, most of which you will not be passionate about. Your 20s are the question mark decade. Some wandering is necessary. Don't try figuring out what to do with the rest of your life. You'll be a different person in a few years. Just figure out what you want right now. Take jobs that teach skills, move to new cities, pursue creative projects. The key is remaining open to possibilities while taking concrete steps forward, even if they seem unconventional. Elite education perpetuates America's class system. Since 1988, 8 of 10 presidential nominees attended elite private colleges. 8 of 9 Supreme Court justices hold Harvard or Yale law degrees. 54% of corporate leaders and 42% of government officials graduated from just 12 universities. Solutions require class-based affirmative action, eliminating legacy preferences, weighting SAT scores for socioeconomic factors, and ending rewards for wealth-enabled experiences. More fundamentally, we must revive public higher education, the commitment that built great state university systems. Instead, we've slashed state education spending by a third since 1980. Beyond college, we need genuine K-12 equality, eliminating funding disparities and giving lower-income children resources to balance home inequities. We need citizens who question power, not leaders competing to wield it. The dissident impulse has vanished from selective campuses. Yet unhappiness isn't just normal, it's indispensable for transformation. The alternative isn't charity, but justice, not concern, but outrage, not volunteering, but solidarity. True self-overcoming means relinquishing advantages so others can have more. We must choose: remain a winner-take-all society, maintaining artificial scarcity, or mobilize everyone's talent for the greater good. We've tried aristocracy and meritocracy. Now it's time to try democracy.